Hello, this is Pastor Galen from the First Nazarene Church in Chicago, and welcome to our podcast. Hey, before we hear the message today, I simply wanted to say that no matter where you're at, we're glad that you're listening today. We hope this message will inspire you, instruct you, and help you grow in your relationship with Jesus. And if you live in the Chicagoland area, maybe this is the first step for you joining us in person sometime. Or if you want to, you can always check out our online live services every Sunday on our website at firstnaz.cc. Thanks again for joining us. Enjoy the message. Today, as we turn to the message in our Foundations series, I want to begin by asking you a question. I want you to think about your life for a moment. Can you think about a watershed moment that was an incredible positive experience for you? A moment where everything leading up to it had been one way, and then after that moment, everything else was different in the best possible way. Can you think of what that moment was for you? Maybe you're younger or you peaked in high school and maybe you hit that game-winning shot and everyone saw you and noticed you and they saw the value they had and they celebrated with you. Or maybe it was on the stage of a play or you sang that song in front of the crowd and people noticed you and you felt so different and proud from that movement moving on. Or in adulthood, you started that business. Maybe you finished that project and you did it better than anybody else thought you could have. People began to look at you differently. Or maybe if you're a parent, maybe that moment was the first time you held your firstborn child. And you're holding, if you're holding that baby, staring it into its eyes. And if you're anything like me in that moment, you'd felt there was a holy, sacred sense of, oh my goodness, I don't even know you that much, but I love you with my whole heart. You could feel the weight of responsibility in the best way. And at that same moment of, oh, I love you so much, being absolutely terrified and feeling the overwhelming weight of ignorance of someone trusted me with this tiny human and I have no idea even how to change a diaper. We'll have to figure it out. From that moment forward, your sleep and your life would never be the same. For me, as I was thinking about this question this week, I began to think, what would that moment be for me? And probably because it's coming up for us next month, my wife and I will celebrate our 10-year wedding anniversary. And so I was thinking back to this moment. Thank you. I noticed something as I looked at this picture this week, too. I'm at the stage where I'm looking at this and I'm like, the picture's a little like grainy and like, man, we look young. And then I was like, oh, it's happening. I'm becoming old. This is how it happens. Starting to happen to me too. I never thought, here we are, 10 years. And I remember that day. I remember the colors, remember the dresses. I remember the amazing barbecue that we ate at the reception. The cake my mother-in-law made. We ate the cake and they're like, you gotta get to the dance floor, do the first dance. I'm like, have you tasted this cake? I'm gonna need a minute. I'll get there when I get there, okay? Maybe the thing I remember most about that day is the vows that my wife and I took. You stand up in front of your family and friends and a whole bunch of people I didn't know were family and friends, but they are. And you say these words to one another. You know, you repeat, I, Galen, I take you to be my lawful letter wife. And the moment of these vows, and if you were like me, again, this is a like holy and sacred moment. I remember before the wedding walking into this, I'm like, I'm committing my life to this person. And all the ways that I'm about to say, for richer, for poorer, for better, for worse, in sickness and in health, oh my goodness. Now, my wife and I deal with serious moments very differently. I'm a little bit more like, oh wow, this is meaningful and like, okay, here we go, and less emotional. My wife is not good in front of people, and under stress, she does the weirdest thing. She giggles. I'm like, why would you do that? It's such a serious moment. So she's feeling nervous in front of all of these people, and we're standing here, and I say mine, and then she's about to say hers. Hi, Justine. Take you, Galen. And her voice is starting to shake a little bit. And she's going through and she goes, she gets to the part where she goes, for richer, and she begins to cry, or for poorer. She can't get it out. And hilariously, the pastor actually stopped and he says, now don't get caught up on the poorer part just because you're about to marry a pastor. Hilarious, everybody laughs, it eases the tension in the room, then she's able to continue. Hilarious moment. I remember these vows. Today, in the Foundation series, we're talking about baptism. And in one sense, it's all of these moments wrapped up into one. Maybe it's a moment that's incredibly public, where it was once this way, but now it's something different. In another way, you feel this holy weight of responsibility, and there seems to be something happening more than just meets the eye in baptism. And it is also a moment of vows, saying, I'm committing to follow Jesus. I have decided, and there is no turning back, as the song goes. Today we're talking about baptism. Now for you, really, here's my hope and prayer for you. If you've already been baptized today, my hope is that you would remember your baptism, and in such a way that it would cause you to live into it. And if you haven't been baptized, I want to tell you, why as the church do we celebrate foundation? Why is this a baptism? Why is this a foundational practice for us? And then invite you in to participate in baptism. When I say remember your baptism, I hope if you've married and you've experienced that moment of vows, when you go to somebody else's wedding and you sit back and you remember, oh, I remember our wedding day. Do you remember when we said that? Do you remember when you couldn't say that one part of the vows and like you kind of relive it as you see someone else? That should be the reminder for you. I took those vows to you. It should remind you, it wasn't just a moment, but this is the life that I am now living into. It's a covenant that I've made that I will continue to live in faithfulness to those vows. It should remind you in the same way today to remember your baptism. Why do we talk about baptism in the foundation series? This is the central, it highlights for us the central truth of what it is that we believe as the church. And Jesus commanded us to do so. In Matthew 28, when he gives the church its mission, he says this, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth, so therefore go and make disciples of the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Spirit. If you're here last week, you know it goes on, teaching them to obey all these things I've commanded you. Surely I'll be with you even to the end of the age. But when the church is doing what the church should do, we're making disciples, people who follow Jesus, apprentice under Jesus, who are then baptized into the faith. So it's something we practice, something Jesus commanded us to do, something that we have to be obedient to follow him and to be baptized. Ultimately, baptism reminds us of what is most important. Paul, one of the apostles in the New Testament, when he's writing to a church, and it feels like he's trying to sum up all of his thoughts. And he comes to this moment of clarity, and he says, this is actually what is most important. He says this, 1 Corinthians 15. I passed on to you what was most important, and what had also been passed on to me, and now 2,000 years later. Christ died for our sins, just as the scriptures said. He was buried and he was raised from the dead on the third day, just as the scriptures said. It's this moment of like, what is most important in the Christian faith? We believe that in the beginning, God, this God who is love, who exists as Father, Son, and Spirit, but mysteriously one God as well, he creates everything that we know that has been created, and he does so out of a motivation. Why does he do it? Because he wants to share his love and his goodness with the world. Yet when you create something, you recognize to love something, you must have a choice. If you don't have a choice to respond in love, then that is not love at all. So God creates the humanity and the spiritual forces, even that we can't see, with a free will choice. Will you choose to love me? Will you respond in love to me? Now, even if you haven't been in church, you probably know the story of Adam and Eve. What you may not know is that Adam's name means humanity. This isn't just their story. This is the story for every single one of us. Even if we have done our best to faithfully serve God, there are points that we choose what we would want instead of God. I want to live life for myself. I want it this way. I want whatever I want instead of what God wants. And when we choose these things, we see the results. We see the destruction and the chaos that our choices bring to ourselves and to other people. Or maybe, just to put it frankly, we experience this wanting within our soul. Is there something more? Is there something else I've been created for? What is this really all about? Scripture says that God has placed eternity within the heart of humanity. You have these desires that you know what is good and true. That's why we as a culture, we get so bent out of shape of, that's not fair. That's not fair. It shouldn't be that way. People shouldn't be treated that way. It's not fair. We have this bent for justice. We need to see this be made right. Where do those desires come from? Where does that moral compass come from? God has put it within every one of us so that it may point to him, a God who is loving, a God who is just, a God who loves us and lives faithfully towards us. It's meant so that we can know him. God in the Old Testament is the story after story, and if you keep reading it, honestly, it begins to turn a little depressing because God is pictured as a faithful husband. I will always be faithful to you. If you come back and live in relationship with me, then you would experience the good life. And time after time after time, we turn our back on him. God looking and seeing and knowing that humanity will never respond faithfully in a sinless, perfect way that it should, comes himself. Scripture says that he would send his one and only son, that whoever would believe in him would be saved and not perish. Jesus, born of the Virgin, then comes to live a perfect, sinless, faithful to God life that we have not lived. He goes to the cross and on the cross takes on the sin of the world, as the scriptures have been foretelling all along. In his death, all of the sin of the world is placed into the grave with him. But his story doesn't end there. Just as the scriptures foretold, 3 days later, God the Father in the power of the Spirit raises Jesus from the dead. And it's not just a dead man who's now become alive. This is Jesus who is victorious over all sin, guilt, shame, showing the rest of the world that the war on evil and chaos has been won. The battle may still rage on, but when Jesus returns again, he comes in power. Scripture says that every knee will bow, every tongue will confess Jesus is Lord to the glory of God the Father. We will see him with our eyes and see he has been what is good and right and true all along. The invitation is then, if you believe in him, if you surrender to his lordship and to live for him, you become saved. Your sin is forgiven and you are given a new life. Scripture says, if we confess with our mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, we will be saved. This is the central message we believe and live into. Baptism gives us the picture of that. Today, just quickly, I'm going to give you 5 quick things, the big ideas of baptism, to leave some time and space at the end of service. Number one, today, I want you to know that baptism does not save you. Baptism itself, the act, does not. Well, if you've been baptized, you're saved no matter how you live your life, or even if you live for Jesus but you haven't been baptized, you're not going to be saved. Those things are not true. Baptism itself does not save you. Pastor Brady, who used to be the worship pastor here, would say it this way. Baptism is like a wedding ring. The ring itself does not say I'm married within itself. It's not the essence of my marriage. It's a sign that shows the covenant I have made. So baptism is a sign and a symbol of the faith that you have in your heart. Only faith in Jesus can save you. Many of you may have grown up in a tradition that would baptize you as an infant. And at its best, when you look at the scriptures, why they would do that, the people of ancient Israel, remember when you'd have a baby boy at 8 days old, you would bring him to the priest and he would be circumcised. And circumcision was the sign that you're a part of the family. You're in the community now. If you're not circumcised, you're not. And so if a heathen or pagan nation would come and begin to serve God, they would be circumcised to show they were in. So on that account, that those churches would say, we're baptizing you to show that you are a part of the family. Now, that baptism is made on the parents' faith that we will raise you. It's a commitment that they will raise you to know Jesus faithfully within that church. In our church, we do baptize infants, but also parents choose to dedicate their children as well if they want to. So that one day when that child can grow older and declare their faith in Jesus for themselves, they can be baptized as an adult. I love what Pastor Bob writes in the background notes, and you can pick these up for more in-depth study on baptism. He says this, some who are baptized as infants may choose to renew their infant baptismal vows made by their parents by being baptized as adults. This represents not two baptisms, but one. One infant, the parents' vow, followed by, number two, the fully responsible person renewing that vow with water, being baptized, saying, I'm making the decision for myself. Jesus has saved me, and I follow him. Baptism doesn't save you, it is the sign. Number two, baptism is a public confession. People may ask from time to time, like, I don't really do crowds. I don't do people and lights. Like after service, can we like sneak down here and like just real privately? And sometimes there are legitimate concerns and very few times, but if the needs are there, we will do that. The majority of the time that we say no, because baptism is telling the world I have decided to follow Jesus. It's drawing the line in the sand. I am choosing to follow Jesus. I'm choosing this in front of the world. Number three, baptism is the picture of death and life. And this is probably the most clearly seen one. What is it that we see when we baptize someone? Romans 6 and Colossians 2 make it clear. Romans 6 says, "For we died and were buried with Christ by baptism. Just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glorious power of the Father, now we also may live new lives." Or Colossians 2. You were buried with Christ when you were baptized, and with him you were raised to new life because you trusted the mighty power of God who raised Christ from the dead. You see, the picture of baptism is death and life. Do you see the words of there? When you go under the water, that is symbolic of Jesus going into the grave, taking the sin there where sin will die there. And then when you're raised up out of the water, you now live a new life with sin being done away with, a new resurrected life with him. For some reason, when we come to the water of baptism, people tell me this, I don't understand. You like have an irrational fear that when the pastor goes down, that he's gonna like hold you down for a second. Like, no, think about your sin while you're down there. No, no, we're not gonna do that. You go down, and then you're raised to new life. We must remember, though, this is about death and life. First of all, it is about death. The call to follow Jesus, when he puts it to us in Matthew, says this, and we must remember this. Jesus said to his disciples, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will find it." There is a death that happens in baptism. It is us saying, "Jesus, you are Lord. If you are the author and creator of all life, then you know the best way to live life. You are the way, the truth, and the life. So I'm surrendering my ideas of truth. I'm surrendering my ideas, even some of the things that I would want to be true. Jesus, I have to die to myself, die to my sin, die to the way I want, and surrender before you." And then if we do that, not only death, but life comes. And we're forgiven of sins, we are washed, we are made clean. Every bad thing you have done or said, Jesus looks at it. Scripture says he throws it as far as the east is from the west. I remember being a little kid spinning a globe, trying to find the point where the east meets the west, and it was very confusing for me as a child. The way to say that God remembers it no more. You're forgiven, you're made new, and you get to walk into a new abundant life, loving God and serving others, which leads us right into number four. We are washed clean and made new. If I had time today, I would walk you through the Old Testament, all the times where salvation and water are mixed. Genesis 1, there's water, and God brings a created order. You think of Noah and judgment and sin and water, and then a new humanity emerges. Even Jonah, who's thrown into the water to die, but he comes out of the belly of the fish onto dry land, sent on mission with God's word. Or honestly, this is how the early church used to do it. And church, you're welcome that we don't practice it this way. Think of this for a second. They wouldn't come into a building with a baptismal and, you know, microphone. They would go to the lake or to the river. "Do you want to be baptized?" Now here's what would happen. Hang with me for a second. The person would say, "Yes, I want to be baptized." They may declare the Apostles' Creed or say, I pledge allegiance to Jesus. I follow him. I've decided to follow him. Then they would take their normal everyday clothes and take them off. Ooh, awkward. And then they would walk down into the water. They would walk into the water naked, just as they were naked when they were born into the world, because they're undergoing being born again, as John 3 says. They would be baptized. They would come up into new life. And I love this. When they would walk back to the shore, someone from the church would be standing there with a new white robe. And they would put the robe over the shoulders of the person. The imagery is not lost. This old way of living, this old sinful life is being done away with. Now you have been clothed in Christ. It is white and spotless and pure and clean. For that is how you stand today. I love that imagery. I don't think we need to practice that to understand the imagery, and I hope you would agree with me. God makes us clean. He washes us and makes us new. And then finally today, we are baptized into the family of God. For some of us, When we decide to follow Jesus, some of us, what that means is that we have to turn our back in a sense. More like we don't turn our back on them, but our family or friend groups may turn their back on us. So you follow Jesus? That's crazy. That's ridiculous. We will never have anything to do with you. I remember praying with Muslim converts here in this room. To follow Jesus meant to forsake their family. Am I alone now? What happens next? No, you are baptized. This is a public profession, and you're baptized into a family of brothers and sisters who don't look like you, may not talk like you, but they hold the same faith in Jesus as you. And together we make up the beautiful, messy, mixed up people, the holy people of the church. Not perfect, but on our way loving God and serving others. You're baptized into this family. Today I want to read you one more passage of scripture that hopefully makes this as clear as I possibly can. What happens in baptism? It says this. This is what happened in baptism. When we went under the water, we left the old country of sin behind. When we came up out of the water, we entered into the new country of grace, a new life in a new land. That's what happens in the baptism of Jesus. When we are lowered into the water, it's like the burial. And when we are raised up out of the water, it is like the resurrection of Jesus. Could it be any clearer? Friends, your sin, your past, your guilt, your shame, our old way of life is nailed to the cross with Christ. A decisive end to that sin miserable life, no longer captive to sin's demands. So what we believe is this. If we can get included in Christ's sin-conquering death, we also get included in his life-saving resurrection. You are dead to sin and alive to God. And that is what Jesus has done. Today, to respond to this message, maybe one of two things. Number one, remember your baptism. If you've been baptized, remember your baptism. Are you living out in faithfulness to the vows that you have made before? Remember, as you see others baptized, may it take you back to your own. Do you remember the time where your heart was set aflame with passion to love God and serve others, and you would tell the world, I love Jesus and I want to make him known in the world? Do you remember when you would go out of your way to serve and to take care of other people, the people that the world had forgotten? Do you remember the vows of denying yourself and taking up your cross? Do you remember God's goodness and faithfulness that while you were still a sinner, Christ died for you and he is making you new? Remember your baptism. I wish we could celebrate baptism every single weekend so then we could see the reminder of our faith. Maybe today, remember your baptism. The second response today is to be baptized. And I don't mean like in a week, and I don't mean like come afterward and talk with a pastor and like we'll set something up. I mean today, in 5 minutes. Maybe you would begin to feel God's Holy Spirit speak to you. You'd feel heaviness within your heart in this moment to be obedient to what God is calling me to do, to be a disciple of Jesus. I need to be baptized. Some of you may have noticed I'm wearing a shirt to preach in today. I saw you looking at me funny in the lobby. Is he preaching? Is he wearing a t-shirt today? He's wearing a t-shirt today. Some of you have seen this shirt before. You know that we wear this shirt when we celebrate baptisms. So I'm ready today. And even if you did not come ready to be baptized, back behind the stage, we have shirts of all sizes. We have shorts that you can wear dry home. We have a towel for you to take home. You can sit in your car. But here's the thing. Maybe a small inconvenience, I'm a little wet. But to be obedient to what God is calling you to do, to tell the world, and it's not an emotional decision, it is a conscious, I have decided to follow Jesus and there is no turning back, as the song says. He has saved me and I need to respond in faith and to be baptized. Maybe you're like John, who's a part of our church, who said, I struggled with addiction. It left me feeling empty. It felt like I had a hole in my soul. I prayed and asked God to save me. And since then, that hole in my soul has been filled. I know God has forgiven me and saved me. He's helping me stay sober one day at a time. I'm not perfect, but I'm becoming more like Jesus. Maybe your story is more like Giovanna, who said, I have felt God calling me to take the next step of baptism for a while now, but I've been keeping putting it off, being disobedient. Today, I finally want to be obedient and say yes to God and be baptized. or like her husband, who said, I know that God has been pursuing me as an individual and us as a couple. I know I'm not perfect. I have stumbled, but God has saved me. In my stumbling, I have learned that nothing will fill the void in your life except for Christ Jesus. I know that life is turbulent and painful, but when you know God, you have hope in this world. I'm thankful for God changing me. He is the one thing that got me through. I'm being baptized to show the world I live for Jesus. And he has changed my life. Today, is it time? Would you come forward in just a moment to be obedient to God and say, I want to follow Jesus? We celebrated one at Friday night, Celebrate Recovery. Two in the first service today. We get to celebrate the Nikon family being baptized. Is today your day too? One more verse and I'll close. Acts 22:16 says this. What are you waiting for? Get up and be baptized. Have your sins washed away by calling on the name of the Lord. Would you pray with me today? Right where you are, if you don't mind, if you're willing and able, would you stand with me? Jesus, today, we're thankful that you love us. We're thankful for this greater story that we are wrapped up in. The story where you are revealing your great love to us. The story where your love is so great that not even our sin can separate us from you anymore. But God, because of your faithfulness, you sent your son Jesus, who would die for us to forgive us of our sin and then raise us to new life. God, today as the church, help us to remember our baptism. Help us to live in light of our baptism every day, to follow you with our whole heart, soul, mind, and strength. God, if there's any here today that you are calling them to take the next step in front of their family or friends, or even if they're here alone, they know you are calling them to say, be baptized into the new family. Be baptized and have your sins wash away. Be baptized and tell the world, I will follow Jesus. God, if you're speaking to people today, would you give them the courage it takes to say yes? And God, as they do, would you bless them with your presence and the holy specialness of this moment as they are baptized and celebrate this new life that they have found in you. Jesus, as we are all obedient to do what you have called us to do in baptizing others, would you bless us in these next few moments? We love you, Jesus. We pray this in your name. Amen.
And thanks again for joining us for the First NAS podcast. If you're interested in what your next step in growing your relationship with God might look like, I'd encourage you to visit us at firstnaz.cc/engage, or you can download our app from the App Store, First Nazarene Church. And there you can let us know if you've made a decision for Jesus, or you can also find practical resources to help you grow closer to Jesus. I'd also invite you to subscribe to the podcast if you're not already, to make sure that you've always got the latest content. And if you want to, feel free to share this on your social accounts. You never know who else might need to hear today's message as well. Well, thanks again for joining us. Have a great day.